We're turning again to Galatians chapter 5. And our text this morning is the verse 7. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Therein we read, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Let's just bow, please, in a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, we ask for the blessing of the Lord upon not only the reading of the word of God, but our preaching and our meditations upon it. May thy Holy Spirit, who has penned these words and has preserved them down through the ages, come now and write them upon our hearts and cause us to understand and to know what is that good and perfect will of God. Do be pleased to speak to us through the scriptures of truth. For it's in thy lovely name we ask. Amen. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" The imagery that Paul is using here, that of a runner running a race, is one that we find many times throughout the scripture. And something that we all can relate to, for we all have a race to run. And when I think of runners, I think particularly of an Olympic runner by the name of Eric Liddell. He's the first that comes to mind. His name was brought to our attention some years back in the movie Chariots of Fire, which told his story of the decision that he made not to run on a Sunday during the Olympics in Paris in 1924. Now, it was thought that his best chance of a gold medal would be the 100-meter race. And yet when the schedules for the races were posted, he noticed that the 100 meters was to be run upon a Sunday. And as a devout Christian, he refused to run upon the Lord's Day, for he believed that that would be a breaking of the Sabbath for him. Now, great pressure was placed upon him to make him run, for him to see this one race as an exception. The public press, the majority of the people criticized him for his refusal to run. He was accused of being unpatriotic. He was denying his country a chance of glory and a gold medal. He was called legalistic. He was accused of many things, yet he refused to run, even if it meant losing his chance at winning a gold medal. Now, it was decided that he would run in the 400-meter race. Now, that was a race that he wasn't expected to win. In fact, he was given no chance of winning. And just before the race was about to start, someone handed him a note. And as he opened it and read it, it said, "In the old book it says, 'He that honours me, I will honour. Wishing you the best of success always.'" And God did honour Eric Liddell, for he not only won the 400 metre race, but he broke the world record in the process. Now, what you may not know about Eric Liddell is that he went on to become a missionary in China. And he was captured by the Japanese after they invaded China in 1938. He was placed into an internment camp, and the conditions were so severe that he never fully recovered, and he died in 1945. And in more than one way, Eric Liddell ran his race, and he ran it well. Well, I want us to look at that question asked here in the book of Galatians this morning. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" What we want to be able to say at the end of our course, that not only have we fought a good fight, but that we have finished the course, that we have run our race well. We don't want to say it of us, ye did run well, who did hinder you? We want to take this picture of the runner and the race and examine the question before us and leave ourselves open to its challenge. Are we running well, or have we been hindered in our race for God? Now, there are some things I want you to consider this morning. The first thing being this, that the race that we have to run is a personally run race. Paul says, ye did run well. He's speaking to the individual. He's speaking to each and every person. And he wants us to realize that we, each of us individually, have a race to run. Every race is made up of individual runners. Each saved person is a runner in this race. At the very moment of your salvation, you became a runner. And we are representatives of a heavenly country in this race of life. Now, when we look at the metaphors that's used throughout the scriptures, we'll find that on different occasions, the picture of the runner and the race is used to underline some great spiritual truth. For instance, in the book of Hebrews, and the chapter 12 and verse 1, the apostle says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a race that is set before us. We picture today the Olympic runner, and he has been assigned a lane. There is a course set before him. There's a predetermined course that he must follow. And we are reminded that we have been assigned a race and a course by God. We're thinking of what we might call God's will for our life, his plan and purpose for every believer. There is the will of God for my life, and there is the will of God for your life, and every Christian is able to speak about the race that has been set before them, our assignment by God, the course that he would have us to run. If you've ever participated in a track event, you'll know that the course is marked off in a number of lanes. Well, God's course has many lanes. The lane that he has put me in is to preach his word. But you will have your own lane. God's will, his plan, his purpose for your life. Don't think for one moment that God's plan is only for ministers or elders or missionaries or Sunday school teachers or evangelists. The truth is, God's will is for each and every one of his children. God has a lane for each believer. There's no standing on the sidelines cheering others. You have a race to run. There is a course set before you, a personal assignment from God. Now, it may very well be that the will of God for your life will be different than the will of God for my life. But there is a race for us to run. The will of God must be carried out in our individually run race. You can't run another person's race for them, nor can they run your race. We must run our own race. We'll all have our own vocations, our own service to render. Mine is to preach the word of God. Yours may be to minister to the children, or to minister to those in great need, or to send a note of encouragement or a card to those that need lifted up. It may be to sing the praises of God. It may be that you'll be placed in a business, that you'll be successful in order that you might benefit the work of God by your giving. We all have a course to run. And not only do we have a course to run, but we have a crown for which we reach. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, Paul says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." He's thinking of the Olympic Games of his day, when the winners of the races would be given the victor's crown, a laurel wreath to place upon their brow. Of course, that wreath of twigs is going to die and wither given time. They obtain a corruptible crown. We obtain an incorruptible one. Even today, the Olympic runner has his goal of winning a medal of bronze or silver or possibly gold, and it's for that prize that they reach for and strive. That's their goal and their ambition, to get the gold medal. The Bible says they do it to win a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. We're after something more valuable than bronze or silver or gold. We are after a heavenly reward. I mentioned the movie Chariots of Fire. There is a scene in the movie where Eric Liddell is speaking with his sister Jenny, and she's not in favor of him running at all. She feels that his running was dividing his loyalties, that instead of being totally committed to God, that he is giving his attention to running in the races. And she reminds him that God has made him for himself. To which he replies, "I know, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." The ultimate reward for which we strive is that when we stand before the Lord, that he is pleased with our life, that he will look upon us and the things that we have done, and that he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That we have sought to glorify God in every area of our life, that we have run that race that has been set before us. And when we make our appearance before God, that our lives will be one that have brought glory and honor to his name. Beloved, we will all stand before God. There are no exceptions or exemptions. Each and every one of us not only has a race to run in this life, but one day we will stand before the great God of heaven. And we will give an account of the life that we have lived and the race that we have run. And we will receive reward for that which has been done well, or we will suffer the loss of reward for our lives that have been lived for self and not for the Savior. There is a personally run race. And this personally run race must secondly be a properly run race. I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 7 of Galatians 5. "Ye did run well." He did run well. He's speaking of running a good race. He is running a properly run race. Now, what does it mean to run well? Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." And the word "uncertainly" speaks of that which is hidden or that which is not seen. Paul is saying, "I'm not running without an objective. I have a goal." He's not running without purpose. He's describing himself as a focused runner. They tell me that when you run the 100 meters race, that you keep your eyes fixed upon the line. You don't look to the left or to the right as to what the others are doing. You focus upon the line. Indeed, you focus beyond the line so that you go through the tape at top speed rather than slow down as you approach it. And they pick their point in the distance and they set their gaze upon it and they run with all of their strength and all of their might towards that point. And the successful runner is one who is totally committed and focused on being the best runner that they can be. That means that they don't just run a few minutes each day and then show up at the race expecting to win or to be competitive. Their whole life is focused on their running, their diet, their discipline, their dedication. They are focused on being the best that they can be. So when it comes to the time of the race, they are fully prepared for the race set before them. Well, Christian, do we not want to run our race well? Do we not want to be fully focused on the race set before us? We can't afford to be part-time Christians. Being a Christian is more than just coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's a seven-day affair. So many people today treat their Christian life as something that they do one day a week. And then they do something else on Monday and something else on Tuesday and something else on Wednesday. And then come the weekend again, they'll have church on Sunday. The poet said, some people go to church on Sunday. They stand up and shout. Then they go to work on Monday and leave the Saviour out. They think they have done their duty, that to the Lord that they have been true. But when they get to heaven, they'll find that one day religion just won't do. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ is a seven-day affair. We have to run the race well, and we do that by having a life that's focused and committed to the Savior. We want a focused life, and we want a faithful life. We've already quoted the words of Hebrews 12 and 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The word patience speaks of endurance and perseverance. It speaks of being faithful and consistent. We are to run the race well, and to do that, we must cross the finish line. We're to allow nothing to distract us or discourage us or to deter us or to defeat us as Christians. We will not accept not finishing the race. We must burst through the line. In 1968, in the Olympic Games in Mexico, John Stephen Akawari from Tanzania was running in the marathon. And earlier on in the race, he took quite a fall and stumble and cut his leg quite severely. And the medics managed to patch him up. And his right leg, bloodied and bandaged, he crossed over the finishing line over an hour after the winner had already celebrated his victory. And that's why he kept on going, knowing that he had no hope of finishing first and was obviously in such pain and distress. He answered by saying, my country did not send me to Mexico to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. And can I remind you, Christian, that we are running for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are representatives, we are ambassadors for Him and for that heavenly country. We have been sent not to start the race, but to finish the race. And to run it well. To have our life focused upon the Savior and faithful to His service. And not only focused and faithful, but fruitful. Paul said in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. The word vain means empty. He's saying that when his race was over, that he wanted it to be a fruitful race. Productive. In Romans 7 and 4, we're told of how we are to bear fruit unto God. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We are to be fruitful Christians. We are not to run in vain. We're not to have an empty life. There ought to be a fruitfulness about us. I came across a little article earlier in the week about the Christian garden and the Christian fruitfulness. They said, first plant 5 rows of peas. Preparedness, promptness, perseverance, politeness and prayer. Next to that, plant 3 rows of squash. Squash gossip. Squash criticism. Squash indifference. Then 5 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be unselfish. Let us be loyal. Let us be truthful. Let us love one another. Then it said, no garden is truly complete without turnips. Turn up for church. Turn up with a smile. Turn up with determination. Let us be fruitful Christians. Let's run the race well. Let's live that focused, faithful, fruitful life. It's a personal race. And it's a prepared race. But beloved, it can also be a poorly run race. Look again at our text. Ye did run well. There was a time that ye run well. But listen, someone or something has hindered you. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Paul's saying there was a time that you ran well, but not now. You have a past testimony of running well. Ye did run well. You had been focused. You had been faithful. And you were fruitful. You were running a good race. But not now. It's possible that there are some here today of whom it might be said, ye did run well. You used to be faithful. You used to be focused. You used to be fruitful. Who did hinder you? There was a time that you never missed a service. There was a time when you would have allowed nothing and no one to keep you out of God's house upon the Lord's day. There was a time that you read your Bible, that you studied the Scriptures, that you spent time in prayer, that you were faithful in your witnessing and your evangelizing. There was a time that you ran well, but who hindered you? You used to be involved in the work and the ministry of the church, but now you just occupy a pew and you watch as others run. There was a time that you took how you lived seriously. You guarded your life. You kept it clean. You never trifled with sin. You did the very best of your ability to keep your life pure and holy before God. There was a hatred for sin and not a tolerance of it. Your private life was as clean as your public life. But now there are things that are not quite right. You did run well, but you've been hindered. You used to be close to the Lord. You had a deep love for Him, for His word, for His work. Prayer was part of your daily life. The Bible was a blessed book to read. There was a great sense of the Lord's presence in your life. Who did hinder you? I heard the story of two students that were employed in their first summer job. They were working with the roads department. They were given the job of painting the white line down the center of the road. And their supervisor told them that they were on probation and that they must set an average of 5 kilometers a day in order to keep their job. The first day they did 10 kilometers. The second day they painted 5 kilometers of white line down the road. By the third day they painted less than 1 kilometer. And the supervisor said, "I don't understand it. The first day you did so well, you painted 10 kilometers. The second day was not so bad, but you painted only 5. And today, you've only painted 1. What happened?" They said, "Well, each day we kept getting further away from the tin of paint." Well, is that not what happens to us when we get away from the Lord? We become less productive. We become less focused. We get away from the source of our strength and grace and blessing, and we wonder why we're not running so well, why we're not traveling, why we're so far from blessing. Have we hindered ourselves? Have we become weighted down with the things of the world? Are we not to cast from us those things that would entangle us again in the things of the world, so that we might run with patience the race set before us? Could it be that we're no longer focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ? We have lost sight of God? That the things of God have lost their sweetness to us? Could it be that our testimony is that we did run well, but that's in the past? There is a past tragedy. A past testimony, sorry, and a present tragedy. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The word "hinder" there describes one runner cutting in front of another, causing him to stumble and to fall. In the case of the Christians in Galatia, Paul is speaking of how they allowed the Judaizers to pull them back into the law. They've allowed them to bring them back to the ritual of the Jewish religion instead of the liberty that was theirs in Christ. Who did hinder you? Christian, who have you allowed to cut in front of you and trip you up? What have you allowed to become an obstacle in your race for the Lord Jesus Christ? Some job? Some hobby? Some activity, some sin that's caused you to stop serving God, that has stolen your affections that ought to belong only to Christ? And you've slowed down in the running of your race. In fact, it might be said that you're going backwards rather than forwards. Well, whatever it is that would hinder you this morning, whatever it is that is cut in front of you, or that trips you up or entangles you again in the things of the world, it's knocking you out of the race and it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be removed. And we need to start running again. that faithful, focused, fruitful life for Christ. You did run well. Who did hinder you? We don't want that to be our lasting testimony, that we used to run well for the Saviour. We want it said of us that we have finished the course, that we have run that good race, that we have fought that good fight. We want that to be our lasting legacy, that we have done all that we can for the glory of the Lord, and that when we stand before Him, we will hear Him say, "Well done. You have finished the race that was set before you. You have run well." We may not finish first, but may we be able to say at the end of our race that we have done our best for the Lord. That we have given Him all that we have. That we have used every ounce of our strength and our might and our love for the glory of His name. That we have given it all to Jesus. And may we receive that crown of glory from our Saviour's hand. And hear the "well done of God, good and faithful servant." May it not be said of us, "Ye did run well, but you were hindered." Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, bless Thy word to our hearts this morning. And may we, in the Christian race that is set before us, run well for the Saviour. And in so doing, might we know the blessing of God upon our life. And may we bring glory and honor to Thy name, that we'll be able to point to the One who saved us and tell the world around us that we are living this life for the glory of our God, to undertake for us. Our Father, help us to remove those things that would hinder, those things that would entangle, those things that would trip us up and slow us down, that truly we might run for the glory of Thy name. We ask through Christ our Saviour. Amen.